Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you today, and all of y'all that's out there on Facebook. Somebody asked me yesterday, did they think we was going to set a record? I said, I don't know, but maybe so. So shoot somebody a text and tell them to join on Facebook so you can watch it with us. But we're a little bit out of sorts today, so just bear with us. We're going to figure it out as we go along. But I'm going to ask Brother Ken if he would open us up in a word of prayer this morning.
Father God, as we just humbly bow, I just want to thank you again for our opportunity to be in your house of worship. And we just pray over this service today. Pray that all those who watch this service be filled with the Holy Spirit and get blessed by it. We want to just thank you for every blessing you've given us. We want to rebuke the devil and this coronavirus that's going around, and just be with all those who are sick and couldn't be here today. Be with the pastor today as he brings the message that you've prepared upon his heart, and just go with us and lead and guide us during this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This morning our message is going to be out of the book of Matthew, chapter 6. So if you'd like, you can go ahead and be turning on to that if you're at home. And we're gonna sing us a song this morning, page 438, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. And today is a national day of prayer. Our president has asked us to pray that this sickness be hindered and that it kind of just play itself out. And we're thankful that we have the great physician and he can speak a word and all of it will be gone. But I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with us this morning. If you know the song, Heaven Came Down, sing it at home, and maybe we'll get to hear you here, all right? Everybody stand. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness astray, Jesus the Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took a very offer of grace, he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Amen. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen. Amen. Again, we're thankful for those that came out this morning, and we're also thankful for those of you that are joining us at home. Probably for at least Wednesday night, this is our motto. When in doubt, don't get out. Okay? I was going to try to preach tonight, but my throat, I don't even know if I'll get through this morning's, but God willing, we're going to be here Wednesday night, and we'll be not televising, we'll be streaming it on Facebook, so you can watch us on that. But if you're not sick and you want to gather with some brothers and sisters, you come and we'll be here. But no choir practice Wednesday night, right, Brother Ken? Wednesday night, no choir practice, no visitation, nothing like that. We're just trying to do what we've been asked to do, which is to try to curb the spread of COVID-19. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 25. But before we do, I just want to ask, does anybody have a word of praise or a word of testimony this morning?
I have a word of praise.
Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anytime anybody's being saved is good. And the good thing is today, no matter where we're at or what's going on, we know that somebody's hearing the gospel and someone is letting Jesus or allowing Jesus to be Lord and Savior of their life. Anybody else this morning? Amen. It is good to be here. It is. My daddy used to say, I'd rather be here than the finest hospitals in America. And I've learned that yeah, amen. I'd rather be here for sure. Anybody else? All right, this morning, the title for this morning's message is going to be Christ Jesus' Teaching on Worry and Fear. Christ Jesus' Teaching on Worry and Fear. We're going to be in the book of Matthew again, chapter 6, verse 25, and we're going to read through the rest of that chapter, okay? Just remain seated this morning, and we'll begin. Are you there, folks? All right, let's go. Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, but gather into barns, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why taketh ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, or because of this, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles, and that's a picture of the lost. That's the fear that lost people have. Verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself, of things itself. Let me read that verse again. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Christ's teaching on worry and fear. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, in Jesus' name I come to you this morning thanking you for this day, thanking you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you're on the throne and you're in control. Even in the midst of this situation and what we were told is a pandemic, God, it's not taking you by surprise. You're not wringing your hands. You're not worried about how to fix it. But you've got everything under control. And there is no power greater than your power. And there is no fear. There is no worry, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we cannot face by you and through you. So God, I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to gather together. You said where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst, Lord. And I'm thankful for those that are watching online, knowing, God, that you're able to span the distance. And you're able, Heavenly Father, Lord, to do a great and a mighty touch by your word and your spirit. So God, I pray today that you forgive me of my sins. You forgive me of my inadequacies. And I praise you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you're holding on to me this morning. And your blood is sufficient. So God, today again, I thank you for all those that are with us today, here and on Facebook, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We do have a lot of sick this morning before we kind of get into this. Brother Russ is sick. Brother K. Jess is sick. Jess is sick. Noah is still sick. And there's just a lot of stuff going around. Brother Wayne Bledsoe has had to go to urgent care this morning. Been sick for a few days is what we were told. But as we begin to talk about Christ's teaching on worry and fear, I know that today is a little bit weird with our services mainly being on Facebook and the COVID-19 pandemic. But I want you to know that the decision to recommend that everybody stay at the house, like I said, we feel that when in doubt, don't go out. It was not made lightly. And the reason that we made it is we're praying that everybody get healthy and everybody be blessed. The deacons and myself want you to know that in doing it, the reason we made this decision is that we're trying to be to a point that we don't have to catch up after someone around us catches the virus, but we're trying to do our best to keep it limited as we've been asked. And so, and you know, we may be making a mountain out of a molehill. 2 or 3 weeks from now, we could look back and see that the entire country and your preacher has lost his mind and overreacted. However, with the schools closing down, businesses taking off, and the recent the basketball teams and all that that's going on, we're just trying to err to the side of health. I do not want to wait, like I said, till somebody catches it. But the idea, I didn't know about this, the schools have closed down for 2 weeks, and I just found out Friday that that the virus can linger for 3 hours. And so this is basically what we're trying to do. But again, like Wednesday night, we will have the church doors open. If you dare to come out, you come and be a part of us. There won't be any choir practice. But if you've been around Thomas Village very long, then you know that I am not in favor of closing any services, and the deacons aren't. And you've heard me say many times that I will, when it comes to judgment or grace, I'm always going to err to the side of grace. And when it comes to health and safety, I think we ought to err to the side of health and safety. And so I want you to know that crowds and tradition come in second to God's will and to your health. But, and here's another good thing. If I get too long-winded for you, you can just turn me off. You can just shut it right down then. You've got the knob today, all right? But I want you to remember this as we go and begin to look at what Christ says about worry. Remember, no one loves you like Jesus. No one's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you would let him, no one will do greater than what Jesus wants to do for you today. But as we think about the COVID-19 and the coronavirus and all that's going on, really and truly, it's very hard right now not to get caught up in a fear mindset. a worry mindset. Even if you're not worried about yourself, as a parent, you would worry about your children. As a child, you worry about your parents that are up in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. There's just so many things that's going on around us. A few days ago, I was talking with one of my friends. He's a church member here. And we were talking about the washing hands and the hand sanitizers and all that stuff. And he looked at me. He said, "What's the matter, preacher? Ain't you ready? Don't you want to go to heaven?" And I said, "Yes, I do want to go to heaven, but I want to go when it's my time. And God has gave me common sense. And so until He gives me the time to go, I'm going to live by the little bit of common sense that He's given me." But with all that's going on around us today, we're kind of in new waters. We're kind of, and I think sometimes the greatest fear is the fear of the unknown. I've never heard that there's been a declaration of a global pandemic. Schools and businesses are closing. Major sports events. When I heard that they canceled March Madness, I knew that it had to be getting pretty serious, getting pretty real. You know, the stock markets is up and down. I had a friend that, they've lost a couple $1,000s in their retirement fund. They didn't want to even open up their mail. They didn't even want to look at it. Overall, there's just a sense of uncertainty. What's going to happen next? What do we need to do next? And again, there's a feeling almost of uneasiness. And to be honest with you, like I said, it's something new. It's something we've never experienced before. But in my mind, and as I've sat back and tried to pray about this morning's message and consider what's going on, the closest thing that I think to what we feel right now is when Islamic terrorism attacked the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and the plane. Now, I know it's a little bit different. One's a disease, and the other one is man-made destruction. But both of them, if we're not careful, can overcome us with terror. I mean, think about it. I'd say 99% of you that's listening to me today have experienced fear and concern. Specifically, if you were alive during that time, that was a scary time period. You remember the World Trade Centers? I'll never forget seeing the plane hit that and it going down. And then the Pentagon as it slid into there. And then the awesome bravery of those that were on United Flight 93 and saved probably the White House, as it sounds like where they were going. But if you think about that and then think about where we're at today, there were days and weeks just like now where there were questions about how and why it's happening. Why did it happen? How did they do it? Just like today, we're thinking, is it man-made or is it this? Is it terrorism? Whatever. You know, just how did we get to this point? And then there was the fear and the anxiety about where and when it might happen again. You remember that's the last time I can remember that there was a large shutdown of sporting events and things like that. They didn't want you to have anything. Why? Because of fear. And then there was the uncertainty and concern over whether we could and would be able to protect ourselves. You see, if we're not careful, like then and now, we can let fear and anxiety overwhelm us. And I know some people would probably say that us not having church today is out of fear, but it's not. It's out of common sense and trying to do our best to keep people safe and to keep them well. And praise God, the church is not this building, but it is the people, and we are together and united in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, even with no COVID-19 or terrorist attacks, as human beings, oftentimes we can be overcome with fear. I got to thinking about some things that we fear. Think about these. Number one, the fear of being sick. I mean, I don't care if it's COVID-19 or if it's a sinus infection. I don't want to be sick. It ain't no fun. The fear of being alone. The fear of losing a job. The fear of being like your mama. Fear of the dark. Fear of change. Fear of being fat. Fear of school shootings or church shootings. The fear of death. Fear of being a failure. Fear of being alone. The fear of your children moving away. And then the fear of your children moving back in. I mean, see, there's this all kind of stuff
that we can be fearful of. And on one hand, the Bible teaches, and we know that certain types of fear are necessary and they're a blessing. Think about it. The fear of not being burned or the idea of being burned keeps me from walking to the stove and laying my hand on an eye that's burning. But that's not just terror, that's wisdom. That is understanding, a recognition and a respect that's there. Then the concern for my physical health causes me to put on my seatbelt. You know, I mean, there are some fears that are good. There are some fears that are needed. And then also, in many times in the Scripture, old and new, however, we are told as born-again, blood-bought, eternally secure believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are instructed not to fear. Not to fear. Listen at these, and I could have had a whole bunch more of these. But listen, Psalms 56 verse 4, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do unto me? Isaiah 43 1, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Listen at that again. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. He knows my name today, and I am His. Glory. Then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Then there's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. And then there's my favorite, as we announced on Friday that we were going to kindly be postponing some services and limiting the attendance in some services. I asked Sister Melissa to put 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is probably one that I quote very often. And it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And praise God, that's what we're needing right now in the midst of this. We need the power of God. We need the love of God, but we also need that settled mind, or that self-control is the idea that it's talking there. In fact, you remember I said I could have read many more that talked about not to fear. There are at least 365, fear nots in Scripture. One for every day of the year. There, for every day that we live, in the 365, God has given us a fear not in that day. Christ Jesus never intended, as His children, Christ Jesus never intends for us to live in fear or anxiety. Listen, John chapter 14, verse 2, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus wants believers to have a peace, and not just a common peace, but a peace that is not of this world. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So much so does Jesus not want us to be in fear again. He said, the Scripture tells us, Old and New Testament, 365 times, fear not. But then in probably His most well-known sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, which I read from today, we see that He specifically confronts fear and worry and tells us, don't fear. As you and I, who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, His instructions to us is fear not. So it's my prayer this morning that the Holy Spirit will use the words of Christ Jesus to give us wisdom and power. Remember, He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So through His Word, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll have the power, not only through this storm, not only through Corona, but from this point on, that we'll live without fear of what's going on around us. But let's think about a second. What does it mean when He says, fear not? When He says, take no thought of? I mean, you can ride a roller coaster and be scared. My son loves to hide around a corner, and when you come around a corner, he jumps out and hollers, and he, especially his mama, he loves to just get her all twitter-pated and raise the cackle hairs up on the back of her neck. But see here, the idea that Jesus is confronting here is being overly concerned or preoccupied with fear. If you look up the word fear in the Greek, the word is phobos. Now, what does that sound like to you in the American, in the English translation? Phobia. That's because that's where we get the word from. It's from the Greek phobos. See, the idea here is to be overly anxious. To be at a point to where your fear instead of your faith dictates how you live. Dictates what you do. You know, we've talked about it. Many times we're ruled by emotions. We talk about if I feel good, then God's good. And we'll go to church and we'll listen to the gospel radio station. But then in those times we're mad. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go this morning. I don't want to be around those folks and all that stuff. See, and fear is the same way. It's another emotion. It's another emotion. But see, not only is the idea here fear, but then there's the idea of worry and anxiety. This is neat. I looked up the word worry, and it means to brood over or to have the feeling of extreme uneasiness. Fear and anxiety means to brood over or to have the feeling of extreme uneasiness. It went on to tell me a little bit more, and it said in the Old English and the Old German, it meant this: to harass, bite, or tear with the teeth. How many of you have heard the saying, it's just gnawing at me? That's the idea. Many times that's the way fear comes at us. We may not tell anybody around us. We may not let it see, but we have that inside of us, that anxiety, that worry about what's on that phone call. What's the doctor going to say? What's my youngins into? Am I going to have the money to pay this month's bills? All those things, and it robs us of our joy. And again, be reminded that Jesus does not want us to live in fear and those things. That's why He says these things. Now, before we go any further, I do want to make known that when Jesus is talking about here, He's not giving us a responsibility. He's not giving us the right to be lazy. He's not doing that. And He's not talking about the issue of clinically diagnosed depression. Those are different things. The idea here is fear. I mean, think about it. The idea when fear motivates us. I read about some of the folks, what they're doing now for the corona. One of them is the toilet paper. My goodness, how many people's got that bad a runny nose? I mean, they are buying up the toilet paper and you go in there and you don't see nothing. But I heard that there are some people, millionaires, that are buying old and forsaken missile silos. And they're using them to quarantine themselves and just check out of society. Now again, when in doubt, don't go out. But praise God, we don't have to lose our minds. We don't have to lose our heads, and God would not have us to lose our heads. So again, God is not giving us, Christ Jesus, as He teaches here, He's not giving us permission to be lazy and to expect somebody else to take care of us. He's not telling us that, He's not talking about clinical depression or social anxiety disorder. He's talking about the everyday fear that we face. Matter of fact, let's look in the first paragraph, verses 25 through 27. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Do you know what? If you read that in the Christian Standard, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." There is no way for you to live on this earth and not have things come up against you that are scary. I'm telling you, just walking out your house some morning is scary as it can be. There's times when the phone rings that I'm like, oh, goodness gracious, what's coming on this phone call? But you see, as long as we live in this world, there's going to be things that come against us that try to rob us of our peace and wants to motivate us by fear, worry, and anxiety. I would dare to bet that everybody that's listening and is here today at one time or another has been fearful of death and fearful of the unknown. Look what he said again. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." I tell folks that there is one person on this earth that can talk me into anything, and that's myself. I can about talk myself into anything. As human beings, we're pretty good at pulling con jobs on ourselves. You know? And no matter what we think, No matter what we do, and I want you to think about this as he says, take no thought for your life, or don't worry about your life. Really and truly today, not one of us have any power or authority over our physical life. We don't control it. Now, we couldn't live if we thought about that every day, and so God has created in us a way that we just block it out and we can go on. But the truth is we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow or if it's going to be another 70 or 80 years down the line. The only person that knows that is God Himself. And He's the only one that should have authority over it. He says that life is sacred. I could run a rabbit there, but I'm not going to do it. Listen, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6, it says, the Lord brings death and gives life. He sends some to Sheol and He raises others up. Life and death is in His hands. Listen, in Job 14, Job comes to the realization that he has no control over his own life. But what brought Job peace was that God was the ultimate and total control over his life. Listen what he says. Job 14 verse 5, he says, since a person's days are determined and the number of his months depend on you and you have set limits that he cannot pass, look away from him and let him rest so that he can enjoy his day like a hired laborer. You know what he'd done? He had come to the place that he realized, Jesus, God in heaven is my Lord, He is my master, and I am the doulos, I am the servant, and praise God, I'm going to serve Him. He has authority over my life. He knows when my rising and my laying downs. He gave me my birthday, and He's going to be there on my death day. And what did He say? He just said, hey, let me enjoy my life as your laborer. God even gives us an average number of how long we're going to live. Psalms chapter 90, verse 10. King James says 70, but the English Standard said the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. What's he saying there? He's saying, hey, at the best, 70, 80, 90 years, but you know what? It's going to be like the dew on the grass. I remember old-timers saying, boy, you better love on them children when they're 3, when they're 2. Well, you can still pull them up in your arms because it's going to pass on. I tell you what, it does. It just begins to speed up. It begins to move. But again, as we're talking about the idea that God has instructed us, Christ has instructed us not to fear, and one of those is our life, we have no control over how long we'll live and how long we won't live. But you remember, we talked about the stove and the fear of the stove and harm and being willing to put on your seatbelt because you don't know. Some fear is good. Some fear is beneficial. The one thing that we know as human beings is this. Ecclesiastes 3 verses 2 and 3. To everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. All of us will die, or either we'll go up in the rapture. But no matter whether it be through physical death or in the rapture, we will all answer to our Creator as we have functioned, or for the way that we have functioned as His creation. We will give an account for the life that He has given each of us here on this earth. So in understanding that, the fear, the concern, the anxiety of death and what comes after death is a good thing. We need to consider. A lot of people will say, I'll get right with God later on, or on my deathbed and all that. Praise God. Again, we have no control. We don't know. At any moment, something could be floating through my body and I could be gone. And so we need to consider, why is that fear there? Why is it within us? Like I said, you know, sometimes we don't need to ignore it. Listen, God is in control of our life. But he also says this over in Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And in the New Testament, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in accepted time, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know that you know that you know today, that if you died when you stood before Jesus, Jesus would look at you and say, well done, my faithful servant. If you don't know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and John wrote in 1 John, he said, these things have I written so that ye could know. It doesn't have to be a hope-so salvation. You can know today. And if you're fearful today, then praise God, God's probably calling you to be saved and to get right with Him. But praise God, if you know that you're saved today, if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, we've got nothing to fear. Now, I'm telling you, like I said, I ain't ready to go right now. But I remember one night I was laying in the bed. I'd been saved about 6 or 7 months, and I was laying in the bed, and I was going to church every night then, you know. You know how you are when you first get saved. You just want more and more. More and more. Excuse me. And so somebody had preached about hell. I went home and was laying in bed, and I was nervous and scared. And I got to thinking, Lord, I just want to make sure if I'm saved, Lord, I need you to take this fear away from me. And in that moment, a peace came. Has there been times, other times where I've been scared to death? Yeah. But when I was in the accident that night and I was sitting there bleeding out my neck and didn't know what was going to happen, I had a peace no matter what happened. You see, Jesus came. He doesn't want us to fear. You know why? Because the things that we could not do, He came and did it for us, to give it to us. Listen, on our behalf, Jesus Christ conquered the things that no human being could conquer in and of ourselves. He conquered and fulfilled the perfection and the standard of God's law. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Praise God, He came to be our righteousness. But He didn't stop there. John 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believes in Me, even if he dies, he will live. Everyone who lives and believes in Me will never die. Ever. That's what He said. Praise God. You see, He conquered the law, He fulfilled the law, and He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And both of them, He says, here, I want you to have. That's why today we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear the unknown. Praise God. John 14, verses 1 through 3 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself. And where I am, you may be also. Praise God. We in the Western world, sometimes we look at death in the completely wrong way. Praise God. The Bible teaches us that death is an escape from a sinful world and a sinful body. It is a doorway into everlasting life. It is a doorway to a place where there is no sin, where tears will be wiped away and never come again, to a place where we will be alive more than we have ever been before. That's why we know beyond a shadow of a doubt today that Jesus would not have us fearful over our life, to be anxious over our physical life. Why? Because He came to give us His right standing with God. He came to give us victory over death. He came to give us a life never ending. So today, praise God, as we are facing corona or whatever else might be facing, we don't have to worry about dying if we're in Christ Jesus. And that's not me saying that. That's Jesus that says that. Amen? The next thing is this. We're fearful over the food we eat. We're fearful about the food we eat. I hear a lot of people saying, man, it's them chemicals they're spraying on it today. That's why we're getting so much cancer. It may be. I don't know. I mean, praise God, eat it and go on with it and don't be fearful of it. But listen to what He says there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 20 through 27. He says, don't worry about your life, but He says, don't worry about what you eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is it not Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment, more than clothing? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Now here the idea is not just simply saying God's going to provide us a meal, which He does. He promises to provide us a meal. But it goes deeper than that. What Jesus Christ is talking about here is He's saying, I'm going to take care of your overall provisions, your needs and your health. That's my job. That's what He's saying right here. That's the Creator's job. Listen, what He says there. He says, for your Father, your heavenly Father. We must remember that words have meaning and that there is no word in the Bible that's just a filler word. Every one of them has been placed by the accuracy and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 5 verse 45, listen to what we're told. Jesus says, so that you may be the children of the Father in heaven, for He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. One thing that I'm beginning to learn as a father with two children is that the older they get, the more expensive they get. My gosh, they are expensive. And there's days that Talmadge can eat a box of cereal in a day and a half and drink a gallon of milk or a gallon of tea in a day. And I look at the boy and I say, son, you can't be thirsty. You're just drinking it to be drinking it. You're a bottomless pit just dumping it on in. But here's what will happen. I'll go pick them up from school in the afternoon. And you know what the first thing is out of their mouth. I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat? If it's Talmadge, Daddy, will you take me to McDonald's? If it's Maddie, she'll say, can we go to Taco Bell? She loves them nacho fries. She just goes gaga over them things. And you know what? Sometimes I'll say, okay, let's go get something to eat. And other days I'll say, I'm going to cook supper. We get home, you can eat a bowl of cereal, and that'll tide you over. But no matter what they ask, where they want to go, and how I choose to feed them, but why do they ask me to get them something to eat? Because as my children, they expect me to meet their physical needs. Matter of fact, it don't bother me that they're hungry. Now, it bothers me sometimes that they think there's an endless pit of money to buy them whatever they want, but it don't bother me to feed them. Matter of fact, it's a pleasure for me to feed them. I enjoy, especially, man, I cook some stuff and I sit there and I watch them eat, and it just does me good to watch them eat. And you know what? If it did bother me, or if I wasn't wanting to be, then I wouldn't be doing my duty as a father, because as a father, that's what I've been called to do. I'm to take care of their physical needs and do my best to make sure that they're healthy. Whenever one of them's sick or has a fever, me and Amy, one of us is going to stay home with them. They don't have to ask. That's just what we do. Matter of fact, most of the time, Amy's going, if they even say, I got a call, she's going to say, let's go to the doctor. I mean, let's get them there. They're going to die. They're having fits. We'll take care of them. Most of the time, they don't have to ask for their medicine. Amy's got it waiting on them. You got NyQuil. This time you're going to take ibuprofen. Next time, take some Tylenol. Rotate it and all that. Why? Because as parents, as the father and as the mother, it is our privilege and our duty to provide and care for them. Praise God today, that's who Jesus is. That's who the Heavenly Father is. When He says, it's not chance or accident that we call Him Father, because the relationship that we have with Him should be like that. He is raising us. He is grooming us. We're wanting to become like Him, but praise God, He's took on the burden of fulfilling our needs and meeting our needs so that we don't have to wait on anything. Or we won't be in need of anything. Once again, Christ makes another reference to our Heavenly Father in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 11, He says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Heavenly Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Think about it. Jesus in this passage, He's comparing us to birds. He says, look at the birds. They don't sow seeds. They don't get the international harvester out there and load up the corn. They don't have to bale the hay and put it in the barn. No. All they've got to do is fly around, sing, and eat. Why? Because God the Father is their creator. And as their creator, it's His duty to make sure they have food to eat. Same is true for you and I today. That's why Jesus says, take no thought of your food. Again, He's not saying be lazy, but He's saying, you just focus on what I got for you, and I'll make sure you eat. I know you've probably heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis and the creation. Day one, He created light. Day two, He created the sky. Day three, God made the land, the sea, the plants, and the air. Notice, none of that time has He ever put a living animal on there. You know why? There wasn't no ground for them to walk on. There wasn't no water for them to swim in. There wasn't no plants for them to eat until day three. There was no oxygen in the atmosphere until He put the plants and the water that was there. And once He got all that, then on day four, He put the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now the earth is ready to sustain life. So day five, He puts the animals in the seas and the water, and He puts the birds that fly in the air. Why? Why? Because He's already provided for their needs. And then on day six, He makes land animals. And then lastly, He creates Adam and Eve in His image. Breathes the breath of life. But before He got to that point, as Creator, He took the responsibility of making sure they were cared for. Making sure that they were looked after. You see, He is the Master Creator. He recognizes His duty to perform as the Creator to His creation. He makes it possible for His creation to live and to sustain life. And today when Jesus says, don't worry about your life, don't worry about your food, Jesus is promising to meet you, a believer. He's promising to meet all your physical needs and to take care of you physically, spiritually, emotionally. And I want to tell you something else. I believe that Jesus, like a parent does, enjoys meeting our needs. I believe He does. Next thing is this. We are fearful about our material needs. We're fearful about our material needs. He says, verse 28, why take ye thought of your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how that they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't have a sewing machine. They can't take cotton and make it into a fabric. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, because of this, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, I call these material needs because in the beginning, there was no need for clothing. Remember, when God created everything, He provided it for every one of their needs. And it was good. That's what He said. And when they got married, it said that they were one and united in one and nothing was hidden. But because of the original sin, because Adam and Eve sinned, there became a need for clothing. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. But I want you to think about this. They didn't say, I need a fig leaf, and poof, there was a fig leaf. No, God in His wisdom and the one that says, I'll take care of you, He provided even for their sins. Praise God, that's what He's done for us in Christ Jesus. The fig leaf was there. Why? Because He was going to clothe them. He was going to take care of their material needs and take care of them. Their ability to make the fig leaf into clothing is still the provision of God. Adam and Eve took from His creation and fashioned themselves clothing. So did God, as God has done in Christ Jesus. And I want you to think about this. If you pay attention, often God does not just fulfill our material needs. Now think about it. They had fig leaves, but what did He give them? He gave them a leather coat. And we know that there's more to that. There was a shedding of blood for sin. We're not going to get into all that. But He went above and beyond. The fig leaf, yeah, it would have done for a while, but He said, no, I'm going to give you skins. Listen at this. I believe that God enjoys not only just giving us the bare minimum, but He enjoys blessing us. He enjoys giving us extra. You know, Talmadge and Maddie, they'll ask me for money sometimes, and I'll give it to them, and I don't like to give it to them. But sometimes I'll tell Talmadge, go into the store and I'll give him a $5 bill. I'll say, get me something to drink and give you something to drink. And he'll come back. And on the times that I don't have to say, give me my change, I'll usually tell him to keep the change. Why? Because I enjoy blessing him. I enjoy it. Listen, think about this. And I just want to show you that I believe not only does Christ take care of our physical life, our spiritual life, salvation, eternity. Not only does he meet our physical needs, give us food to eat and our health, but he not only gives us our material needs, but he enjoys blessing us. Listen, if you pay attention in the scripture, often God not only does just in his supply of our physical needs, but he goes extra. Listen, Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I might test them and whether they will walk in my law or not. You know what he said? You're my people. I called you out of Egypt. You're out here in the wilderness. It's my duty to supply your food and to make sure you have something to eat. And what did he do? He rained down manna, or literally, what is it, from heaven. But you know what? They got to where they wanted some meat one day. And they got to complaining a little bit. And what did God say? Nope, can't have no meat. No, listen what he says. Exodus chapter 12, or Exodus chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel say to them, at twilight you shall have meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And in the evening quail came up and covered the camp. Praise God, he brought them takeout. They came to them. Praise God, food and water. Bread and water would have done it, but God gave them. He blessed them. He went above and beyond. Praise God. I know it's easy to be worried today, but we have a Father in heaven. Not only has he went above and beyond in Jesus, he's fulfilled the law and he's given us victory over death, hell, and the grave. But Jesus tells us, he says, don't even worry about what you're going to eat, because as your creator, it's my job to make sure that your food and your health is taken care of. And then when it comes to our material needs, praise God, yes, he gives us what we need, but many times he enjoys going above and beyond. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and you know this, that I don't believe, I'm not a name it and claim it or a blab it and grab it type guy. As Christians, our fortune, our wealth, and our mansion is yet to be seen. But I will say that God has been good to me, and he has blessed me better than I ever could imagine. He has given me things that I don't deserve. He's given me a home bigger than I need and all that stuff. God has been good to me. And I'm going to tell you this. I've heard people say it, but the older I get, if there is no heaven, it's still been worth serving Jesus on this side. Glory, hallelujah. But listen. You see, what does he say? Matthew chapter 6, verse 29 through 30. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. So if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? And then lastly, our fears don't accomplish anything. Look there in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? The Christian Standard says, can any of you add one moment to your life by worrying? Notice he goes on to say in verses 31 through 34, he says, so don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to be clothed with, because in verse 32, he says, this is what the Gentiles are. This is what the lost people do. They worry about these things because they don't know the promises that I've gave you. But then in verse 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And again, in verse 34, we see that he says, your worrying doesn't do any good. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As I was studying this read, I read an old saying from Irma Bombeck about worry and fear. And listen to what she said. Fear like a rocking chair. It may give you something to do, but it will never get you anywhere. And that's what Christ is trying to teach us in this passage. As a Christian, I have a choice today whether I'm going to live in fear or whether I'm going to seek the peace of Christ. Listen, and not just any peace, but His peace. Philippians 4:7 again, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. A peace that Jesus declared on the day of His triumphant resurrection. John 20:19 and verse 21. Oh, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be unto you. Verse 21, Jesus said unto them again. Now, remember, they're fearful. He's died. He's back to life. Things is getting crazy. I don't want you to be fearful. I want you to have peace. Matter of fact, I've showed up here tonight. That's what Jesus did, to tell you, have my peace. I'm giving you peace. And He says, peace be with you as the Father has sent me. The one who says He's going to take care of you, He's the one that sent me to tell you, you can have peace. So how do we have the peace of Christ? Well, number one, we've got to choose to fear God instead of those things that come against us. Listen, Deuteronomy 10:11. And the Lord said unto me, arise, go on your journey and at the head of the people, so that they may go in and possess the land which I have sworn to give them. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away your gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Psalms 25:14. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant. Then the fear and worry, He tells us that about earthly things is pointless. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is insight. Our individual fear of the Lord is a priceless treasure. Isaiah 33:6, and He will be the stability of your times, the abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. When we fear the Lord, we can have hope in the midst of chaos. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. You see, today, as every day, we must choose to fear the Lord. Listen to this. When we are fearful of COVID-19, when we're fearful of the tax man, when we're fearful of death, you know what we're doing? We're saying, I recognize your power, and I'm allowing it to have an effect in my life. But when we know that Jesus is greater than all, and there is no other power that's greater than Him, then we can look at Him and say, I know that these things may have power, but they don't have power like You got power. You've already accomplished the fulfillment of the law. You've already rose up from death, hell, and the grave to give me that victory. And so today I choose to fear You and not to fear them. And see, what we do when we say that, we say, my God is bigger than the corona. My God is more powerful than the sickness. My God has a plan to get me through whatever it's going to be. And He's able to defeat whatever's coming up in my life. And my God not only will bring me through it, but He will be there with me in the midst of it. And because of that, I have no need to fear. Why? Because my God is with me. In closing, we're not going to really do an altar call today, but I want you to think about this. Number one, do you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Are you certain of that? If you have that, then praise God, you can have a peace, not only for today, but for all eternity. Let me ask you this. Will you be willing to give your fears to the Lord? Because you have to, and you know what? Sometimes you're going to have to do it 5, 10, 15 times a day. You're going to have to do it. But He promises to take it. He says, cast all your anxieties on Him. 1 Peter 5:8. And then lastly, Are you experiencing some fear today? And maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're a believer. But as a boy, and I was thinking about this, you know, especially as a little boy, the storms would come at night and you'd hear the lightning and the thunder and it rattle the walls a little bit. And sometimes the shadows would catch your attention. I remember as a boy, I used to get to my door at night and flick the light off, and then I'd run and jump as far as I could because I didn't want to get close to the bed because whatever was under it was going to grab my legs and pull me out from underneath it, right? But you know what? When I'd get scared like that, I could go to mama or I could go to daddy and I could say, can I stay in here for just a little bit? Can I be close to you right now? And when you get close to the Father, the fears seem to fade. Maybe you're being fearful today because you might have drifted away from the Father. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm not saying you're not saved. But I'm just saying sometimes with distance, some fear. But when we come close, we can have confidence and peace. Not in us, but in Him. You have to be here today. Whatever you need to do, you do it right there where you're at. The Bible says that if you call upon Him, He's there. He's there. And more than that, if you're saved, He lives within you. You're never alone, all right? God bless you. I love y'all. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Bledsoe, would you close us out in a word of prayer?
Father God, we bow before you, Lord. We come to you thanking you, most of all, Lord, for the preaching of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the technology that we can have.
Yes,
here,
Jesus.
Lord, that folks don't even have to be here at this location, Lord, but can hear your word regardless of where they are, that you are a worldwide God. And
yes,
we are just so very thankful for all the blessings that you've given us. We thank you that, Lord, that we don't have anything to fear, that, Lord, we can turn to you, and our help is in you, God, and we just thank you for that. And we pray your blessings upon all those, Lord, that are watching and listening, and Lord, we just ask you that you will bless us all, Lord, that we may be a blessing to others. And we do pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Keep an eye on your Facebook and on your email. We'll kind of keep you notified on what's going on. I love y'all. God bless you. You didn't get out by 12.